Our text this morning for devotion is going to be 2 Chronicles 20. I'm going to read a little bit about King Jehoshaphat. Before we get to the text, though, I have to brag a little bit. I've been waiting to wear this t-shirt. I don't know if you can see it or not. It says the Italian Stallion. Rocky. And I'm not Italian. Not at all. But I love this t-shirt. Because my son picked it out for me while he was in Portland. And as a father, and those of you who are dads in the room, who have older kids, maybe even kids that are growing up, there's no greater joy than when your kids exemplify spiritual characteristics in their life. So I'd like to ask Tyson if he'd come up here and pray for this message this morning. Would you bring him on with a hand? He's a fine young man. I'm very proud of him.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that we get to be here today. I pray that we'll have a warm day today. I pray that my dad will do a good sermon. I pray that we can all pay attention and learn from it. I pray that you, your kingdom will further from this camp. And I thank you that we all get to be here and see friends and family that we haven't seen in a while. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to begin right in verse 1. And it happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedai." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you gave us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Now, O all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up to the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they had begun to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies, fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord, because the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries which they had, when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God had given him rest all around. What a tremendous story here. Story of victory. Jehoshaphat, his name literally means Yahweh has judged. He's one of the kings of Judah, successor of Asa, the third king of the split kingdom of Judah. Jehoshaphat was a godly king who, like his father before, enjoyed a relatively long reign. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, Jehoshaphat fortifies his kingdom and he instituted reforms among the people. He was the one to inaugurate public instruction. And Jehoshaphat actually is listed in the genealogy of the Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 8. The setting here is that Moab and Ammon are coming to destroy him. They've come to make war with Judah, a very great multitude. And in the words of the people of Judah, they were helpless against this army. They were outnumbered and probably outgunned. So Jehoshaphat says feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Fear is a natural emotion. It can be good or it can be destructive. In Psalm chapter 111, verse 10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. While in Proverbs 29:25, it says that the fear of man brings a snare. And then Proverbs goes on to say, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. Fear in the life of a godly person should cause us to set ourselves to seek the Lord, much like Jehoshaphat did. We all experience fear from time to time. So Jehoshaphat, being a righteous man, a godly man, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to start, what to say to his nation, to his people, he goes to his God and he proclaims a fast. A nationwide fast. The whole nation gathers together to ask help from the Lord. From all the cities, they come together. Beginning with the leadership of Jehoshaphat, they gather together in the new court of the temple grounds to petition the Lord. And they fasted. And they prayed. Last year, when Avery was injured, we were on our way to Billings. I was driving, and a text message went out. And if you, for those of you who don't know, in Bozeman, we have a public text message that goes out across to everybody in the congregation. So if there's a need, if there's prayers or there's announcements that need to be made, you can get a hold of someone and they'll send out a text to everybody in the congregation. And the text went out and I got it on my way to Livingston that said that they were meeting at the building here to fast and pray for Avery. I wasn't there for that. But I can, in my mind's eye, see the faces of the men and the families that gathered together to pray. I know who it was that was at that fasting and prayer. I knew it at the time because I've been involved in those prayer meetings. What a blessing that was to me. You know, when we fast and we pray, in my mind, that's intense. That's to get God's attention because there's a great need. But you know what? That got my attention. It's not just for getting God's attention, although that is really the intent, but it's for the sake of those who you're fasting and praying for. How many of you get the text for Trish Wilson, from Trish Wilson? Raise your hand if you get texts from Trish Wilson. A few of you. What an encouragement those texts are. You talk about someone who has an upbeat and positive attitude in difficult situation. That's Trish Wilson. Love that girl. Love reading her texts. The nation was in trouble here. And so they fasted and prayed. Jehoshaphat then, along with the nation, he offers up a national prayer to God. Earlier in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 7, in verse 14, it says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Jehoshaphat prays and he reminds God of the promises that were made to the nation if they would follow him. Praying back God's promises is a common theme among the great prayers of the Bible. One of the best things that ever happened to the congregations in Montana was when Don DeWell came and taught us how to pray the way that he prayed. And then it says that they gathered together in the new court of the temple. See, the name of the Lord was in the temple. God hears the petitions that come from the temple, it says, and will save. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, do you not know that we are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In chapter 6 of the same 1 Corinthians, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Well, I thought Matt did an excellent job last night. I'm still pondering that message. Why would we, as the temple of God, the place where the name of God dwells, not be praying on a regular basis? Why would we not be tapping into that power? We have no excuses if we don't. So God then sends Jehaziel to proclaim his word to the people's petition and prayer. And in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 20, God tells them not to be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude. And this is such a great line. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Now Judah still had to act and stand before Moab and Ammon in battle array. They still had to prepare the armies. They still had to march out. God told them where the armies were stationed and where they would be camped. And God assured them that Judah would not have to fight the battle because he would fight for them. Position yourselves, he said. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is in you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear and be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So Jehoshaphat, along with the nation, bowed their heads with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. And this is what I want to really get to and focus on this morning. Verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, what was the attitude of the nation? God had assured them that he would fight for them, told them to get their armies ready, to draw up in battle array. What was the attitude of the nation? Sure, they were afraid. But they trusted in God. They trusted in Jehoshaphat. They took the actions necessary because they didn't know what to do to give this one to God. And so, when faced with difficulty, actually with certain death, They praised God and sang songs. In verse 15, you got to realize this nation is about to go to war. They're greatly outnumbered. An example has been probably from before has been set, one that I'd like to kind of bring to your memory, and that is of Jonathan, the son of Saul. It's 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. It says, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us.'" And here's a great line. "For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." See? As is often done in the Old Testament, God brings salvation to His people by a miraculous means. In this case, He sets ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judea, and they were defeated. Verse 23, it says, "For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." They turned on each other overnight. Hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of soldiers turned on each other in one night. And no one escaped. No one. Before Judah even gets to the battle line, the enemies are defeated. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31, it says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. In Isaiah 54, it says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." So in verse 24 of 2 Chronicles 20, when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. No one had escaped. What a tremendous picture of God fighting for His people. We often think that the things we accomplish in this life are dependent on our efforts. But God doesn't call us to topple mountains and to do high and lofty things. He calls us to trust Him. You will do great things through God, who mightily works in you. But you've got to humble yourself and let Him guide your steps each day. We've been going on Wednesday night here in Bozeman. We've been going through the book of Revelation with Mr. Wilson for quite some time now. And there's one thing that really has stood out to me in the book of Revelation. I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, verse 10. Says, "He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints." Flip over to chapter 14. Verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And if you're using the New American Standard, it says, here is the perseverance of the saints. The theme that has really jumped out to me is that God calls us to persevere. We all have our difficulties in life. How are we facing them? With what attitude do you face the challenges that God puts before you? Do you get all steamy and cross your arms and pout and like a little kid would do when they don't want to do what they're supposed to do? When we're afraid, who do you turn to? What is your reaction when something happens to you that makes you afraid? I think we all know what the right thing to do is. We all know how we should act. And if we're honest, we don't always act that way. But when it really counts, how do you act? The little things that happen on every day to all of us, do you use them to build character or to tear it down? Devotion is intended to spur us on to do the little things that we need to do on a daily basis to better ourselves for Jesus and for our Lord. So how's your attitude, church? Are you praising? Are you singing? Are you trusting in God? Is He your rock? Or do you just say that? Going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 26. On the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Berakah, according to my Bible, when translated, means blessing. They named this valley the Valley of Blessing. For the Christian, where is his battleground? Is it not the world that God has put us on? Is this not the testing ground and the battleground for the saint? Does it really matter what challenges God decides to put in your path as long as we're on this earth? Can we not call it the Valley of Blessing? Because this is the proving ground for eternity. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, it says that a good name is to be desired more than wealth, and favor is better than silver and gold. With Jehoshaphat in front, the nation, it says, traveled back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. The fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. This morning, where are you at? You know, family camp is a time of renewal. It's a time to recharge, fuel up, get motivated so that we can change the world around us, beginning with the person in the mirror. So where are you at today? Use this opportunity, this time that God has given you, to bless Him, to sing praises. Jeremiah has a great voice. I didn't realize how good he could sing until last night. And I'm looking forward to tonight, hearing him sing some more and lead some songs. And I don't know what Jay has planned, but I think it would be great if he'd lead some songs for all of us. Praise the Lord that today you get to be here in the valley of Berakah and bless the Lord with all of your life. I'm going to be honest. Family camp is also one of the most difficult times for me. If you notice on the front of the family camp flyer this year, it's a picture of the tent right next to it. It says, on our way to heaven. When I think of heaven, I think of peace, and I think of family camp. But I'm thankful that this isn't heaven. That it's so much better than this. Because there's not a chair over there that would normally be there in my family. It doesn't matter what God decides to do in this life. What does matter is that you trust Him because He does know best. And He is fighting the battle for His people. God said, the battle is not yours, but mine. Let's not forget that. And let's bless the Lord each day of our lives.